All right, there we go. So, go to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew and chapter number 4. This is going to be our theme verse for the campaign. Matthew chapter number 4. And verse 18. You can go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at verse 18. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Let's pray one more time. Ask the Lord really to speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Once again, we're thankful for your word. I pray now that as we open your word, I pray you'd give us something we can apply to our hearts. I pray you'd give us exactly what we need to hear this morning. And I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray today would be their day of salvation. I pray today would be the day they join the family of God. We pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this takes place shortly after Jesus was baptized. John the Baptist pointed out Jesus, said he is the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. Now that is some good news. I want you to understand this is something that the Jewish people, they had been looking forward to. They have been waiting for the Savior of the world to come and save them. And here comes Jesus, and John the Baptist points him out and says to everybody, this is him. This is who we're looking for. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And after hearing that, two of John the Baptist's followers, they follow Jesus and they call him Rabbi. In fact, go to the book of John. Keep your place here in Matthew, but look in John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1 in verse 35 says, "Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone." I want you to see what happened here. A couple things I notice is we see these disciples of John, when they first meet Jesus, they call him Rabbi. Now, this was a common term back in Bible times. It just means master. It means teacher. And this was a common thing for teachers to have disciples and to travel with them and to teach them. But notice how quickly they went from calling him Rabbi to the Messiah. The Messiah is not just a rabbi. The Messiah is the anointed one. He's the one that was sent from God. He went from being just a teacher of the Scripture, just being a master of the Scriptures, to being the Messiah, the Savior, the one that they've been looking for this entire time. I imagine these two followers asked him many questions about who you are and why now and what's he going to do. And Jesus says, stay with me, abide with me. And the longer they talked to Jesus, the more they realized who Jesus was. And they called him the Messiah. And do you know, the more time you spend with Jesus, the more you get to appreciate him. Amen. You know, a lot of the world recognizes that Jesus was a real person. There are unsaved people. They are unbelievers. And they will tell you that Jesus existed as a real historical figure, because he was. I mean, there's too much evidence to say that he wasn't. You know, it's a foolish thing for even secular scholars and historians to say there was no such thing as Jesus, because it'd be saying like there was no such thing as George Washington. He was a real historical person. Mm-hmm. But do you know, the more you get to know Jesus, the more you get to find out about Jesus, the more he becomes not just teacher, not just rabbi, but he becomes the Messiah to you. He becomes the Savior. And you realize he was more than just a good man. He was more than just someone who tried to get people to love their enemies and to do good to one another. He was the one that was sent from God to save us, to take away the sins of the world. And Andrew, I love Andrew. You know, in studying all the different disciples, I really got to know Andrew. And Andrew, I got to say, is my favorite disciple. Because Andrew is always bringing people to Jesus. The first thing he does, he goes and seeks out his own brother, Simon. Right. And he says, Simon, you're not going to believe this. He's here. We found him. You got to come see this. And I don't know what it must have been like. We know that Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist, and Simon wasn't. I imagine that Andrew kept trying to tell his brother, hey, you ought to heard what John the Baptist said today. And Simon might have said, no, I'm just a fisherman. I don't care about any of that stuff. I'm not into all that religious stuff, until he met Jesus. And then we see Jesus used Peter to do great and mighty things for the church. And you just see the transforming power of Jesus. When people meet Jesus, their lives are completely changed. Amen. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I quote it all the time, and you're probably sick of hearing it, but I'm going to quote it again anyway. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
New. You know what that word means, new? It means it wasn't anything like it was before. Amen. It's not. It doesn't resemble anything old. It says old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's not refurbished. Right? It's not something that we just cleaned up and polished. It's completely a new creature. And you know why he uses that word creature? He doesn't say he's a new man or a new person, because that means they'd be reborn as a new human being. But this is a new creature. This is something that was born of the Spirit. This is something that God created. God created a brand new heart inside of this person. They are a brand new creature. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you only know of Jesus, you've heard of him and you've heard that he was a teacher, get to know him a little bit more, and pretty soon you'll see he was more than that. He is the Savior of the world. You know what Jesus did for you? When all of us stood condemned already because of our sins, our sins separate us from God, not just here, but for all of eternity. And a lot of people want to go to heaven and think that doing good things will earn them favor with God, but not if there's that sin. That sin separates us from God. It creates a division between us and God. There's a great gulf. I think of it like trying to leap across the Grand Canyon. You can't do it. No matter how much of a running start you get, you can't do it. There is that great separation between us and God. But Jesus was the bridge. Jesus said their sin separated them from God, but I am going to be the propitiation for their sin. I'm going to be the one that takes on that separation. And you know what Jesus did? Imagine that. And I can't fully explain it because I'm just a mere mortal. But Jesus, who is God in the flesh, was separated from the Father on that cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Could you imagine? That's the separation that we had between us and God. And Jesus took that on himself so we could go in freely and we could have free access to God. We're no longer enemies with God. We're friends with God because of Jesus. And if you don't know that today, you're still separated from God. If you only know Jesus as the teacher, you need to come and know him as your Savior.
Amen.
You need to know him as that person, that one that can reunite with God. Maybe you feel like your relationship with God isn't what it's supposed to be. Jesus mends that relationship. Do you know that? And it's through his blood and his sacrifice on the cross. And here's what I see. As soon as Andrew realizes this, he's going to get Simon. And he goes and gets Simon. And not only that, but we see Simon, but we also see James and John. James and John, they left mending their nets. That was the only life they knew. The only life they knew was the life of a fisherman. And Jesus says, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And you know what? They leave their nets immediately and they go and they follow Jesus. That's because Jesus gives us a brand new purpose, a brand new life. Do you understand? Now that you know Jesus as your Savior, Jesus as the Messiah, you have a brand new purpose. You have a brand new life. You have a brand new start on life. And maybe that's what you're looking for here this morning. Maybe you're just looking for something new. Maybe you're looking for some sort of new purpose. Can I tell you this morning, you'll find it in Jesus. You won't find it in a self-help book. You won't find it in the secular bookstores. You're not going to find it in attending some sort of seminar, some motivational speaking engagement. You will find it in Jesus.
Amen.
That's how you can find a new life and a new purpose. He tells them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I want you to understand that when you're on the boat fixing and untangling your fishing net, Jesus spotted James and John, and he was teaching these trained and skilled men a different skill, how to fish for lost souls and tell them about the gospel. Now, here in the first chapter of John, Jesus called the fishermen. Jesus, if we keep reading, you find that Jesus meets a man named Philip, who was from Bethsaida. You know, Bethsaida, that's the same village that Simon Peter and Andrew lived in. And he told Philip to follow me. Now, maybe Philip heard what these brothers were talking about. Maybe Andrew and Peter, they were telling the people in the village, oh, you got to see this. And maybe they didn't believe Andrew. Andrew's always out there with Crazy John, right? He's eating the locusts and the honey. But when Simon says something, maybe it gets their attention. And maybe Philip heard Simon and Andrew were saying. And so maybe he heard these brothers talking about Jesus the day before. And Jesus says, follow me. And Philip gets excited too. So immediately, what does Philip do? Philip goes out and he finds his friend, Nathanael. He finds Nathanael and he says, Nathanael, you got to meet this guy. Again, we see somebody who heard about Jesus, experienced Jesus for themselves, and then the very next step, went out and brought somebody else to meet Jesus. So Nathanael meets Jesus, and Nathanael he's kind of skeptical. He says he's from Nazareth. Does any good thing come from Nazareth? Can there any good thing come from Nazareth? And Jesus says to Nathanael, when you were sitting under the tree, I knew you. I saw you. And that was something that he experienced Jesus for himself. And one by one, we see Jesus calls his disciples. He says, follow me. They follow. And the more they get to know Jesus and the more they recognize Jesus for who he is, they bring others. Jesus eventually sends the disciples out two by two, going out preaching the gospel, because that's the progression. You hear about Jesus, you come to know Jesus, and then you're going out and you're bringing others to Jesus. Can I give you three things this morning Jesus wants every one of us to do? Three things, no matter who you are, Jesus wants you to do. And it follows our theme verse in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 19. Here's the first thing. Verse 19, and he saith unto them, and Jesus says to all of us, follow me. Here's the first thing. You got to follow him. Follow him. Do you know the call to follow Jesus is for everyone? There's not anybody that God has picked to hear about him and some not. That's Calvinism. And that's wrong. Okay, if you believe that God chose some people to follow him and some others, then you're wrong. Because my Bible says, for God so loved the world.
Amen.
Not for God so loved the elect. And God so loved just a specific group of people. God so loved the world.
Amen.
And he died for all people.
Right.
So understand that the call to follow Jesus is for everybody. Okay? The call to follow Jesus is for everyone. He wants us to be a fisher of men. In order to be a fisher of men, you got to be in the boat first. Right? If you're going to be a fisherman, it would only stand to reason that you are joining the rest of the fishermen in the boat. If you're going to be a fisher of men, if you're going to win others to Christ, then you first have to be a follower of Jesus yourself. Understand, Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathaniel and James and John, they didn't say, all right, Jesus, I'll go find people and bring them to you. Okay, now that I've brought them to you, I'm gonna go my own way. They followed Jesus first. You going to bring people to Jesus? You got to be a follower of Jesus first. You got to get in the boat. All right, how are you going to go out and bring others to Jesus if you yourself have not come? Your testimony is a powerful tool to reaching others with the gospel. A lot of people will say, well, I don't know how to give the gospel. I don't know how to be a witness. Do you know what the best way to be a witness is? Is just to share what Jesus did for you.
Amen.
When Andrew went to go tell Simon Peter, his brother, he didn't have some three-step process or some four- or five-step process. He didn't have a PowerPoint presentation. He didn't have a John and Romans out there. He didn't have a little soul-winning card. He just said, this is what I experienced. And you know, that's exactly what happened with Philip. He went and told Nathaniel, look at what I experienced. And that's how it happens, folks. You know, the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries we read of in the book of Acts, every time he goes to a new place, you know what the first thing he does is? He starts telling people his story.
Right.
I was Saul of Tarsus. I persecuted the church. I hated Jesus. And then I met him on the road to Damascus. And now I've got to tell everyone about him. And his testimony was so powerful that even King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Do you understand for a secular heathen ruler like that to say that to the Apostle Paul? That's a powerful testimony. Your testimony is powerful. And you know what? I don't think we share that enough. This week, I got to hear Brother Myron's testimony yesterday. He told me how he came to know Jesus on his own. And do you know how much that touched my heart? Can I tell you, that's the most powerful tool in your arsenal. You've got prayer, which is a weapon, but you've also got your testimony. You want to tell people, you want to win others to Christ? You got to experience it yourself. You know, how would you feel if a vacuum cleaner salesman comes to your door? Do people still sell vacuum cleaners door to door? But you know what I'm talking about, right? Imagine if a vacuum cleaner came to your door, knocked on the door, and told you everything about how wonderful this dirt devil is and how it'll suck up all the dirt in your house and it'll make your carpets clean enough to eat on. And then you ask him, well, do you own one? Oh, no. Oh, no. I own a Hoover. I own a Shark. I own a Swiffer. How ridiculous is that? But you know what? A person would be more likely to buy that vacuum cleaner if the vacuum cleaner salesman said, hey, I've got one of these, and can I tell you, it's amazing. That's how we ought to be a witness. We ought to tell people, can I just tell you what Jesus did for me?
Right.
You know what I'll often tell people, and this is the truth. I was a pretty good kid growing up. Growing up, I wasn't all that rebellious. I tried to keep all the rules. I went to church. I enjoyed church. But for some reason, I got it in my head that I was making God happy because I was doing all the things. And I went to all the places. And then I came to a camp where I heard that none of those good things ever earns you favor with God.
Right.
God already gave himself as a gift to us. And in order to receive it, you just have to take it. And can I tell you, I accepted Christ. And when I did, I felt that burden roll off of me. I did. I went outside and I screamed and I shouted, "Thank you, Lord. I'm free. I don't have to try to earn your favor." Do you know how stressful that is? Trying to make someone happy and you never know if they're happy or not. But because of Jesus, and not because of anything I've done, but because of Jesus and nothing else, God looks at me and he's given me his favor. Because when God looks at me, he doesn't see Jesse Maxwell. He sees Jesus.
Amen.
Because when he looked at, because Jesus stood before God as if he were me. Amen. Jesus took my pain and my suffering and my shame on himself.
Yes.
And now I can wake up every day and rejoice and be glad. And I have hope and I have peace that the world does not have.
Amen.
This world is always looking for more money, more power, more real estate, more popularity, and it's never enough. They're always looking for something, but I found it. And when I go out and I tell people about Jesus, I tell them, "Look what I found." It's like when Jesus told the woman at the well, you know, "You're asking for water, but if you knew who I was, you'd know I was the living water. And anyone that drinks that living water will never thirst again."
Amen.
Your testimony is huge. Do the people in your life know what Jesus done for you? Do the people that are closest to you know how important Jesus is to you? Have you shared your testimony with them? Maybe you've invited them to church before and they don't want to hear it. Maybe you've tried to get them here for special days and it didn't happen. The most powerful thing is, hey, this is what Jesus did for me. Jesus could do that for you too. Would you come with me and hear about it? Every day of this campaign, we're going to preach the gospel. We're going to hit it hard. We're going to hit it heavy because we want Jesus to make a difference in the life of everybody. If you want to be a fisherman, you first got to follow him. Have you? Do you have a story to tell? Have you experienced what Jesus has done for you, or are you just playing a part? Do you just come to church and you put on your Christian mask and you act like a Christian, but you've never really experienced it? Hey, I got news for you today. If you have not had that story for yourself, you can come here today and have one. And you can say, I remember that day in October. It was about 78 degrees outside. It was nice, but things were not nice in my soul. Things were not nice. But then I came to Bible Baptist Church there in Bartow, a small church, but they had a big heart because they told me how I can know that I'm on my way to heaven. And I came in there thinking that I was okay. And I came in there thinking that I had a good relationship with God, but the preacher said I didn't. Because it's not anything that I do. And then I heard the good news that Jesus has already paid my debt and all I had to do is accept it. That could be your story today. If you don't have one, that could be your story. And you know what? God will use that story to reach others for him. And then you get included in that story. I imagine that's what Simon Peter said. My brother came to me and he told me all about who this Jesus was. And Andrew became a part of his story. You could be a part of someone else's story. You could be a part of someone else's testimony. So number one, if you're going to be a follower, if you're going to be a fisher of men, you've got to follow. The first thing Jesus wants you to do is follow him. But here's the next thing. He says, "Follow me and I will make you." He doesn't say, "You follow me and you will be." He says, "You follow me and I will make you." You know, understand that you are a project that God is working on. You are a project. God is the one who saves. We're just his witnesses. There, a lot of well-meaning people, I've gotten the privilege to lead people to the Lord, and a lot of well-meaning people will say, oh, Brother Jesse saved me, but look, I didn't save anybody. I can't save anybody. I didn't die on the cross to take on their sins. I had to pay for my own sins if it wasn't for Jesus. So understand, you don't get to save anybody. You are just a witness of Jesus Christ. He's the one that saves. Now, you may not feel qualified. I just don't feel like I can do it, preacher. I know you really want to see this church grow, but I'm scared. I'm not a good speaker. I can't really tell people about the gospel. You may not feel qualified to fish for men, but look, Jesus does not call the equipped. He equips the called.
Right.
If he called you to follow him, he says, I will make you fishers of men. Understand, you will be. God will make you. He will equip you. You can't rely on your own abilities. I knew people in college, and they prided themselves on being able to witness to people. And it kind of sickened me, because they would talk about how great they were at it. And they would go out and they'd say, I could lead someone to the Lord in 2 minutes flat. Like that, like it's some sort of competition. You know what that is? I firmly believe you're making a twofold child of hell, because you're turning it into a competition because of your own skills and your own abilities. Hey, you can't do it on your own.
Right.
You're just a witness. You don't save anybody. You say, hey, I just brought them to Jesus. Andrew didn't change Peter's life. He just brought him to the man who could.
Right.
I will never change anybody's life. I can't do it. But I can bring others to the one who can.
Amen.
And the same goes for you. If you follow him, he will make you. He will equip you. He'll give you the tools to do it. To be, and here's the third one, a fisher of men. You know, the gospel is for everybody. No exceptions. You know, there's a lot of variety of fish that these fishermen were fishing for. They're fishing for a lot of things. You know, we ought to recognize that there's many different types of people. They all need reached with the gospel. There's not just one type of fish, folks. There's many varieties of fish. They may look different. They may act different, but everybody needs to hear it. There's the young. There's the old. The seemingly religious people, they need Jesus. The strangers, friends, family, the atheists, those who are interested in spiritual things, those that just have no interest in spiritual things, they all need the gospel. So let me ask you, who is it in your life that needs Jesus? Who is it in your life that needs Jesus? And have you done anything to fish for them? This campaign is a great opportunity for you to try. It gives you an excuse to reach out to them. You know, fishermen in the Bible used a wide net to catch fish. So we ought to cast a wide net and invite as many people as we can to church. That's why next week is Cast the Net Sunday. That's why I gave everybody a pack of 10 tracts. You pass these out. Imagine the size of a net 300 tracts can reach. And with 300 of invitations to church, don't you reckon at least one of them ought to come? But hey, what if we passed out all of these, but not all of these got cast out? What if we kept some of the net back on the shore? What if we kept some of the net in the boat and we only cast out a little dip net like we've got over here? That would be a shame, is what it would be. We ought to be casting a wide net. But you know, fishermen in the Bible, they also used a hook and some line, kind of like what we do today, to catch individual fish. Whenever the day was slow, whenever it seemed like the fish weren't hanging out in schools, they let down a hook and a line to fish for individuals. You know, we ought to reach the individual with Christ. Who is that one person that you could reach for the Lord? You know, for Philip, whom we just read about, Philip, he was preaching to great crowds, multitudes of people. And God called him away and said, I want you to go to the desert place. And he goes to the desert place and there's nobody. But there's one. The Ethiopian eunuch. He's in the chariot. And he's reading the scripture. And he doesn't understand what it's all about. And Philip went over there and preached to him Jesus. And you know what? Because of that, that Ethiopian eunuch, he brought it back to Ethiopia. And he shared it with the people there. Do you know there are churches in Ethiopia today that claim to be started by that man? All because Philip went and reached the one. We may not have the opportunity to stand on a soapbox and preach to big crowds of people, but God may call you to preach to the one. Give it to the one, because the individual is important. What does the Bible say? There is great rejoicing in heaven when one sinner comes to repentance.
Amen.
You know, and it doesn't say the angels rejoice. It says there's great rejoicing in heaven. I'm sure the angels rejoice. But do you know who I think rejoices the most when just one person comes to Christ? Is God Himself.
Yep.
Imagine the kind of celebration that God has. Do you want to give God cause for celebration? Just reach the one. Well, I'm not going to win the Bible. I'm not going to win the gift card. If I just bring one visitor, it's not about the gift card. It's not about the Bible. It's not about the fishing rod. All these things are fun things to encourage and motivate. But really what should motivate us is there are people that are dying and going to hell every day. And every day that we wait is a day they are dangling over the pit of hell. And we've got the net. And we could give them the solution. We could give them Jesus. And if you only get one, it was worth it. If it's only for the one. You know, often fishermen would cast a wide net and they drag it up into the boat and they didn't catch any fish. Or maybe they only caught one or two. You know, you might not see tremendous results. You might say, preacher, I pass out these tracts. I never see anybody come to church. I can't tell you how many people I personally got to see come to church because I went door knocking. All right, I can't tell you just what that number is. I'll tell you, it's not a very big number. You know, you might cast the net and you might not see any results. But you know what? You're not responsible for the results. You're only responsible for going out and casting the net.
Amen.
You're not going to stand before Jesus and Jesus say, how come you didn't catch more fish? But He is going to say, how come you didn't tell anybody? You just sat idly by and you didn't tell anybody about my son. Why? Because you didn't think it would be worth it? Because you got discouraged? Because you didn't see any results? You're not responsible for the results. You're just responsible to go out and fish. You know, so what's the point of all this? Well, when you come to Jesus, you're automatically called to be a fisher of men. Automatically. You may not feel qualified, but you don't have to be an expert. You just have to share what Jesus has done for you. That's your personal testimony. You're not responsible for the results. God gives the increase. You're just called to go out. But you might be here this morning and say, I don't have a story. I've heard about Jesus, but He's only been my rabbi. He's never been my Messiah. He's never been my Savior. You know, today can be your day.
Amen.
Of salvation. That's what it's all about, folks. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's what God wants from all of us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We're going to get things started this morning with the invitation. And this is what an invitation is. I invite you to come down to the front and do business with God. And just pray. Maybe you're out there and you say, preacher, I have not been a very good fisherman, but I want to leave this place. And I want to go out and I want to cast a net. And even if I'm not successful, I want to be a witness. Is there anybody like that here this morning? You'd raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody like that this morning? You say, I want to be a fisherman. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand as well. How about this? Are you here this morning? And you can say, preacher, I don't have a personal story with Jesus. I don't have a personal testimony. I would like to get to know Jesus as my Savior this morning. Is there anybody like that? You'd raise your hand. Anybody at all? Anyone? Then in just a moment, this is what's going to happen. The music will play.